You will not look back. You will not turn back. You will remain faithful to God. That in years to come, when we ask about you, in some years to come, when we ring you, you will still be in the faith. You will still be standing firm in God. That finally, when the trumpet sounds, when it sounds at the rapture, that you will still be faithful. That no matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens around you, you are going to stick firm to God. You are going to stick firm to Calvary. You are not going to look back. You are not going to turn back. You are going to be faithful to God. You are going to persevere to the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us through the hymn that we should be faithful. We should say no, that will follow you to the end. Father, Lord, as we continue this morning, we are praying that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. Your Holy Spirit will encourage us. Your Holy Spirit will strengthen us so that we will not look back, we will not turn back, but we will be faithful to you so that that day when the trumpet sounds, we will all be there in heaven in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, strengthen us. Speak to us this morning, Lord. Speak to me and transform our lives today. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can please be seated. We are looking at faithfulness and perseverance to the end. The Christian race is a journey. The minute you get born again, you begin the journey. And the journey, the final destination is heaven. And as you go on this journey, it is a wonderful journey, it's a great journey, it's a good journey. But there will be someone, the Bible describes him in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. There in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible describes him as the accuser of the brethren. As you are going on the Christian journey, the devil will come and start accusing you. He will accuse you of many things, but you remember that Jesus is behind you. Amen. Some other times, it's because of the nature of the journey that as you are going on in the Christian journey, maybe they told you that when you pray, you get your answer immediately. And sometimes when you pray, you get the answer immediately. But sometimes when you pray, there will be a period of incubation. Amen. Somebody say, you mean delay? I didn't say delay. I said what? Incubation. Amen? When the miracle is being prepared for you. And when God will bring the miracle very soon. Amen? And during that period, the devil will come. And the devil will remind you. Remember you prayed? The prayer has not, you have not gotten it. And the devil will try to discourage you from the way. Sometimes there will be a period that it will look like things are not going exactly how it goes on. And it happened for the children of Israel. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, we'll see something very definite. The children of Israel, they had a promise. Just like you have had a promise, the Lord has told you, you will get that job. And you'll get it in Jesus' name. Just as the Lord has told you, you will have that baby. And you have that baby in Jesus' name. But sometimes, the period of incubation, nobody likes that period. Amen? Someone wants to get it. Want to get it immediately. Just like the Lord has told you, you get that visa, you get that passport, and you get it in Jesus' name. But that incubation period, the Lord had told the children of Israel that they are going to go to a land that flows with milk and honey. But there was an incubation period, a period of time that looks like the thing hasn't come. And let's look at what happened in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hur by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the Bible was, it didn't say the people were discouraged. You know, there are sometimes you might be discouraged, but your heart is still strong. Amen? He said that both their body and their soul was discouraged. Amen? And I know sometimes it's like that. A sister came to me for counseling. She said, Pastor, what have I not done? They say, confess your sin. I've confessed all my sin. I've even confessed the one I've not committed. They say, go for deliverance. Go for night vigil. Go for prayer. Pray up, pray down. I have done everything. Why has God not given me my miracle? Amen? He says here, and the soul of the people was, he didn't say discouraged. The Bible is very good with adjective. He said, much, much discouraged. Discouragement was so much. And for the children of Israel, we saw it in their reaction throughout the way. He says, was much discouraged because of the way. And as you live here, oh, now we are all here. If something happened, oh, you'll be smiling. Because as you come in, everybody is smiling. Amen? But when you go home, and you are alone, and you are in the house, and the devil will remind you, that visa, you have not yet gotten it, you tell the devil, it's incubation. Amen? I'll get it soon. And the devil remind you, that baby, you have not yet gotten. Every other people, when will you sit down with those nursing mothers now? You remind the devil. It's what? Incubation. And you remember that the people were discouraged before they were. Because as these things are happening, the devil will start telling you, why are you faithful? Why are you bingo? Why are you doing everything? But you say, no. I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for what? I'm doing it for what? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. 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 And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Because as you go on, it's maybe even one day you are going to church. One of our sisters will tell me that she was going to church and she was going to buy fika for the church. And as she just went, one woman just, some beds just pooped and it poured all over her dress. Oh, she looked at it. She, you know, things that Satan will do, remember, is the accuser of the brethren. Not to make you to get to that heavenly kingdom. But you remember, I'm doing it for what? Jesus. That should always be in your mind. And you're always remembering this verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. 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 Looking unto Jesus. So who are you looking unto? Jesus. You are not looking at anybody. You are not looking at the next person. Because sometimes I see that, let's say they are giving offering. And if it's a place that some are offering, as everybody, this brother is looking at the next person, how he's giving offering, how he's giving tithes. No. Who are you looking up to? Jesus. In character, in behavior, in everything you do, you make Jesus your focus. And because of that, you are faithful. Because of that, you are persevering on to the end. Here was a man, Joshua. Joshua did not have many examples. During his time, there was Caleb, some other people. But he told us one thing. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Let's go to Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. 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 But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. He said that cleave. And that cleave is, somebody described it as a very strong word. It's like if you take a post-it and you put it here to drop off. But when you take super glue, Aradite, and you join two papers, if you try to remove one paper, the other one will be temporarily disfigured. That's what it means, that you are so tight to Jesus. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what's going on in your life, you say, I'm cleaving to Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And you must say it all the time, when the condition is good, and when the condition looks like it is not what you expect, remember, I'll be faithful, I will cleave unto the Lord. Somebody say, but pastor, my case is different. Nobody else has had my case. My case is so horrible. Pastor, if I begin to tell you all the troubles I've had in my life, my case, nobody has had it before. If I don't come to church, pastor, don't blame me because I don't come to church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You are even asking, maybe this Europe I came to was a mistake. No, it was not a mistake. You are in the incubation period. Very soon you'll be in the congratulation period. Amen? And that's why you're not thinking like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There had no temptation. Let me put it troubles. Let me put it trials. Taking you, come upon you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you, allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that problem, that situation, bring a miracle, make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. And because God is faithful, you are saying, I'll be faithful. I'll be dependable. I'll be someone that says is something and keep it. And when I say, oh, Jesus, I have promised I will serve you, I will serve him. You'll be someone that has his heart fixed on God. No matter how the situation is around, you remember God is faithful. And because of that, that thing you are doing for God, you will not throw it away. You will not put it down. The way you have been faithful to God, you say, I'll be more faithful. If you are the one who comes to clean the church, you say, I will do it better. Amen? I'll think of a way to clean our church better. If you are the one who used to arrange the chairs, you say, I'll think of a way to arrange our church better. Amen? You are thinking. You are planning. If you are the one who used to give, you say in 2016, you make a covenant with God. 2016, God, I want a promotion. I want my salary to be increased. How many people want their salaries to be increased? I want you to touch my employers. That they will just say, this man, we are paying you too little. We had more money. I think you want that. Did you say amen? Amen? Yes. And then when you say amen like that, you now tell God, because why I want it is because 2016, I don't want to give the same way I'm giving in 2015. I want to give higher. I want to give better. Amen? Now, this faithfulness will even be in reading of your Bible. The way you used to read your Bible in 2015, you say, I'll read it better. Amen? And I will encourage people. I see there are still Bibles left there. I'll buy a Bible for someone. Amen? So that when I go back to my church, I'll give this person, I'll say, my sister, I want to encourage you that me and you, we will start to read this Bible together. Amen? And then you are faithful to prayer. You know, some of us, we have prayer we learned. Different personal prayer. Prayers that take you up better. But now, I've been trying that type of prayer. Maybe you had 12 o'clock prayer. Maybe you had prayer with missing one meal. Maybe you had prayer with missing two meals. Maybe you had combined prayer that you hold the hand of a brother, brother to brother. You hold the hand of a sister. And you say, let's pray together. Said, we have been doing it. It's not... looks like it's not working again. It's working. Amen? Go back there and say, I will do it again. I will be faithful to God in Jesus' name. Point one, the practice of faithfulness by Christian servants. The practice of faithfulness by Christian servants. The practice of faithfulness by Christian servants. How do you practice this faithfulness? How do you do it? Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 to 51. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44 to 51. Who then? Matthew 24, verse 44 to 51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in the season? This is a question. Blessed is that servant when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, what happens? You see, some faithful brothers, they used to preach. Some faithful sisters, they used to fast. And now they see it. If I'm too faithful like this, the brother that used to miss Sunday service, he comes once in a while. One day he comes there. He now has a new car. Amen? And you know, we pastors, we like new car. The day the brother brings his new car, we'll be smiling. Brother, I need to pray for your car. And then you say, oh, the pastor has not smiled at me like that before. Amen? And then you say, maybe I'll be missing church. I'll do extra work on Sunday. You know, extra work on Sunday gives extra salary. Amen? And then you forget that you must be faithful. Amen? And you are not looking at all these other things. You realize that the Christian race is a personal journey. It's a personal track. Go and look at the people who are running in the Olympics. Everybody is on his track. You're not even looking. When you are running, if the other man, maybe he has a leg sprain and falls on the ground, will the person stop and go and help him? He's on his journey. Amen? As he's running, he's not looking at the spectators who are shouting. He's looking at his destination, which is heaven. And so you are making up your mind, I will be faithful to God. Amen? Maybe some of us, we don't say, okay, in our church, I notice, you know, some people, because of their background and everything, people are different. They come in front of everybody in the church and say, Pastor, this is an envelope. This is my offering. And the pastor smile and say, wonderful. You say, and I've been hiding my offering. I just dip it into the bag. The pastor doesn't know. I know what I'll do. Next time, I'll also do like that, brother. Amen? No. You will not do like that. Remember that this is a personal service. This is a personal thing between you and God that will take you to heaven. Hey, you remember that, you have been praying for the church. Maybe you are even the one praying for the pastor, praying for the church all the time. And the pastor doesn't remember you. And maybe there's one sister, our own nature, our own behavior. She comes down and says, praise the Lord, I want to share testimony. Last night, I prayed and prayed for the church. I prayed for all the pregnant sisters, prayed for all the children, I prayed for all the deeds. And everybody clapped for her. I say, nobody has clapped for me. I will stop that prayer. No, you go back to that prayer. You are faithful to God. The one you have been doing, you do it well. Because you realize that God is the one who looks into the heart, who looks into the soul, and who will reward you. And now you have come to Europe, the temptations in Europe are very many. Amen? The one that when you wake up, and this early morning cold will tell you, cover your blankets. Amen? And when you start your morning prayers, you start, Father, in the name of Jesus, amen. You remember that I'll be faithful to God. Amen? And this, our internet generation, even before you wake up, you see the text message. And as you start your prayer, the thing is still beeping. Beeping, beeping, beeping. Somebody has sent you a message on your phone. And immediately you open one eye and be checking it and open the eye and be looking at it. No, you are faithful to God. You remember that this is something. We are going on an heavenly journey. Amen? You're going on an heavenly journey. And because of that heavenly journey, you don't allow these other things to tempt you so that you get to that heavenly city. So this practice of faithfulness, first you are promptly obeying the commandment of God. What confuses people is as you come in now. Say, Pastor, I know a new church there. A new, maybe it's an African church. And the pastor is this, this, this. He has married, he has remarried, he has done this. And they are growing. I know a new one day. I say, you are on your own track. Amen? You're on your own track. You're not looking at the next person who is running. You're on your own track. Don't say, it's better I reduce my own faithfulness. I reduce the way I'm working with God. And people will say, but the other person is a brother. He's doing it the corner way. He's doing it the other way. He's doing it the other way. And God is blessing him. And he's still even praying. No, you remember, you are your own personal journey to heaven. Amen? And you remember that faithfulness. That thing that you have, your personal commitment you made to God. This thing is important. This faithfulness should be inside the church and at your place of work, at your school. You know, sometimes, very surprising, I studied too, in the exam hall. Exam hall, yeah. Some of our African brethren were good in cheating back in Africa. When they come here, these white people are not very good in knowing, you know, our style. Not our style, I'm not in that school now. The style, some people learned. Amen. And then, you are there. And as you are struggling with that question, you see that person is cheating. You see that person is cheating. And the vigilator is not around. And the temptation comes to cheat. And then you remember, you are on a different track. Amen. Now, as you are here, as you go to the supermarket, and you deal with the people here, you always remember, you're on a different track. Your own track is getting to heaven. Your own track is different. And as you deal with everything, you remember, God is the one who looks at your heart. Then you make up your mind, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to begin a self-examination. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Let's read it together now. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Let's read it together. Amen. He says, examine yourself. Don't examine yourself with another person. Even when we come for prayer, you know, I used to like the way, look, we are in Europe. That doesn't mean you should change your prayer style. Amen? You can do it more maturely, more cultured. Amen? So that you don't box someone. But still pray. But when we say, let us pray, I say, are they murmuring? And he said, is he sleeping? I say, is this prayer? Amen. We say, let us pray. You know the way when we pray in Europe? You know the way you pray? I mean, back in Africa, when you pray, sweat will be here. How many of us have prayed that prayer before? Amen. But now we say, let us pray. I say, is this prayer? He said, I'm a civilized person. No, you pray. Amen. You pray the prayer. The prayer that will make you to keep on praying. Not because you'll be remembering another thing again. You'll not be in that channel of prayer. So, and that will even help you to, you know the type of prayer, when you start praying that prayer, if somebody is beside you, if the person doesn't even know how to pray, will touch you like this. Hey, I like this type of brother. Amen. The prayer will be energizing him to pray. But we change. Amen. That this thing is personal faithfulness and commitment to God to get to this heavenly kingdom. You make up your mind, I'll be faithful. Amen? You are not looking at the next person. Because what happens now if a brother is kneeling down there and praying? While he's kneeling down and he's really praying, maybe by mistake he opens his eyes, he sees the other one checking text message. He's checking. What will he do? Next time we will stand up, you sit down. Say, let me sit down small. Maybe sitting down prayer is better than kneeling down prayer. Then you kneel down. Then the next day, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name. Then he turn again. Say, that person. He said, let me check my text message too. Amen. No, you change it. They want to be personally faithful to God. Amen. That is prayer. Prayer is like a cubicle when you want to pray. When you want to pray, it's like you shut down everything around you.
You shut down everybody around you. It's like you are in a block, a cubicle block with God. Amen? And you are talking to your father. You are telling your father. You are interacting with your father to get divine blessings into your life. Amen? Somebody say, hey, but if I pray seriously like that, they'll think I'm looking for a wife. It's good. Let them think that one. If I pray seriously like that, they will think that I really have a problem. Let them think. You are talking to your father. Amen? You are serious in that prayer that you want to commune with God so that you get to this heavenly kingdom. This faithfulness to God. Faithfulness inside and outside the church. You examine yourself. You ask yourself, what do I remove? You see, now as you come now, sometimes you visit some people, you go to their house. You know, worldly music is being redefined. Amen? We used to know what worldly music is. Now some people don't know what worldly music is. And there are so many CDs and so many things. You go, you check your own life. Amen? You ask yourself, these things in my life, maybe it's passage of time. When I got born again, were these things in my house? Did I own this type of things? So I will remove them. Amen? I'll be faithful to God. Unless it's necessary things for your health. You know, if you get here, you were not using jacket before, but you still need the jacket. Amen? You understand what I mean? Things you need necessarily for day-to-day living. When you're that thing that will not help you get to that heavenly kingdom, then you say, no, I want to get to that heavenly kingdom. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. And you are watching out for others. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Point two, the persecution of followers of Christ in the scripture. Point two, the persecution of followers of Christ in the scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Are we there now? Let's read it together. Romans 12, 10. Can we read it together? Amen. So here now we encourage each other. Amen. Even when you go back to your church, when you see a brother is no more faithful, you see a sister is no more faithful, you go and encourage the brother. You go and encourage the sister. I was listening to a preacher. The preacher said that somebody wrote something bad about him in the newspaper. So he called all his lawyers and he said all the lawyers that he's going to sue this man and make sure this man spends all his money. He said when he got to his office the next day, his secretary called him and said, what? Did you hear all that thing that man wrote in the paper? He said, I've planned what to do to him. We'll sue him, we'll do this. Ah, the secretary said, no, you are not going to do that. You are a Christian. You are going to tell him you love him. You are going to call him and tell him that he is special. The man said in his mind, he said, God, why did you give me a Christian secretary? You'd have given me the one that didn't know the Bible. The secretary said, I know that's what you are going to do, Pastor. He said, and I've made it easy for you. The man is on the next line. I've already called him. Say what? He said, now this is the phone. He's already waiting for you. He said, as he picked up the phone and he said, good morning. The man started abusing him. The man abused him. And he told the man, oh, you are correct. You are a better Christian than me. I'm a very bad man myself. Amen? And that way, as we are in this Christian journey, you are encouraging the next person. Amen? Now, when you are even going to church, when you see somebody that is not coming to church, you are the one that will go and visit the person. Don't wait for pastor. If you give pastor all the work, you know it will not be good. Amen? When you come to church, look for people who didn't come to church. You yourself go and visit them. And encourage them. And bring them. And help them. Because we are on a journey and we have a common enemy, the devil, trying to hinder everyone from getting to the end of that journey. Amen? Even if you see people who are complaining, you go and meet somebody, and the person is complaining, and every time, well, my brother, why did you stop coming to church? Now, we didn't see you on Sunday. You know, last two Sundays, they talk of tithes. Last three Sundays, they talk of offering. They are just changing the name every week. It's the same thing. And now they want my money. Because of that, I don't want to come again. Ah, you say, my brother, it's not like that. Amen? How will this our church grow? If we don't have this money. And it's just a way for you to be prospered. Amen? You say, okay, my brother, I see you don't like the pastor. What you can do is very simple. Look for the address of God and go personally and give God your money directly every month. Amen? It makes it easier. But since you can't get the address of God, then you encourage him. Amen? You motivate him. If someone say, oh, why I stop coming? It's because nobody is visiting me. Sometimes when I hear that, I laugh. The last time they visited you, how did you behave? Amen? You know, there's somebody you visit as a pastor. When you finish in the person's house, you carry toothpick outside. Next time, you go to the person's house again. Amen? The way the person will behave alone. But the last time they... nobody is phoning me in our church. That's why I stopped coming. The last time they phoned you, how did you talk on the phone? That the pastor has to say, the next time the pastor wants to phone you, pastor has to call his wife. My wife, please pray with me. I want to phone that sister. Please pray with me. Give me courage. Before you phone you. No. Then you now, when you now go and meet that type of person, you now say, oh no, you know the pastor is busy. You know our pastor now, he's doing the, you know, hey, but can't his wife phone me? You know his wife now with 3 children, with 4 children. You know what it means to have 3 children. You know what it means? You encourage the person. Amen? You motivate the person because we are all helping each other to get to that heavenly kingdom. And you who have been doing it, the Lord will bless you. I know many of you tried, brought people here, took care of them, their transport and all that. The Lord will bless you mightily in Jesus' name. So you put others first. You know, somebody say, Pastor, I've been doing it. But God has not been blessing me. I do it more. The people that buy the new car are the unserious people in the church. Amen? Hey, me that is serious, me that is prayerful. Pastor, look at my shoe. Is it the type of shoe a prayerful person should be wearing? The back is bent. No, you throw all those things away. Amen? You are not saying no. Pastor, hey, Pastor, do you know? Because I've realized it too. If you are not serious, God blesses you more. No, it's not like that. You throw those things away. You are preparing for the heavenly kingdom so that you get into that kingdom. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. What is the Lord telling us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. That today you are making up your mind. If in our church, all our churches, everybody here becomes faithful. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let's go there now. Please, let's go to Galatians 6, 9. Galatians 6, 9. He says what? Amen. Go say you reap. Sometimes people reap differently. Sometimes some people begin to reap early. Amen. Some others begin to reap after they are 40, after they are 50. Some others, they don't even reap. It's their children now become prosperous, great and mighty. Amen. And they will begin to reap. So anything you plant, look, God is like this. God, Bible say, what you sow, you will reap. And the thing is that good thing you plant for God, God will watch it. So that it grows. So don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't say, I will stop. No, I'll be faithful to God. I will continue in my faithfulness. I'll continue in my reading of the Bible. I'll continue in my prayer. One of these, our youths, they asked me, these our youths, they can be very funny. Say, Pastor, see now. You see? Yeah, I told him to open a certain Bible passage. While I'm sitting like this, he said, Pastor, I've done it. Beep, I've done it. You see, that's why you should buy these latest gadgets, not all this paper and book. I say, okay, young man, you see the differences? You don't know which book is before Obadiah and which book is after Obadiah. Because each time you flip, you just go there. You don't even know how many chapters is in John. But I know which book is before and which book is after. Amen? Because I take my time. That faithfulness, those things are very good. Amen? Buy it for me next time. So they are very good. What I'm saying is that even if you are using those ones, be faithful with it. Amen? Because sometimes I see people use it, and when I'm in church, and while they are using it, I say, John chapter 3, verse 3. I know it's one short verse. Then, I'm still preaching, they are still looking at it. Then what are they looking at? Facebook, Twitter,
What's up?
Or something is there very far away. No, you see, even if I'm using that one, I'll be faithful with it. Amen? You know, if you use that one, now while the preacher is preaching, you can be recording the preacher. Then later on, you go and listen to it. That's the advantage with that one. Amen? But if I use this book, when the preacher finishes preacher, I'll come and beg this book, please, can you give me a copy of the message? Amen? So that one has a lot of good advantage. Sometimes I'm looking for a verse. I was sitting there, I was looking for a verse. I wanted to ask my brother, can you use your smartphone and get it for me quickly? Then I said, I would distract him. So I started searching, hey, where is this verse? Where is this verse? Where is this verse? You see, it takes more time. Amen? But you can use that and be faithful with it. Amen? Make sure that you make that personal faithfulness to God, to his word, to his will, to his way. And the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You are faithful in your doctrine. Whether you are in deeper life or you came as a visitor here, I met one woman one day. Hey, I said, sister, you are looking like deeper life. She said, no. But she said, every Christian should live a deeper Christian life. Amen? So you are faithful to the doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. In your manner of life, you are faithful to God. Pastor, you know, I drink alcohol at times. Anytime I'm with my friends, I don't want to look shy. I don't want to look different. I don't want to look unintelligent. So if there's alcohol, I will put small and add Coca-Cola on top. No, your manner of life, you are faithful to God. Amen? You are faithful everywhere you are, anywhere you are. You remember that God is watching. Let's continue that 2 Timothy 3:10. My purpose. Amen? And it's good to buy a book, purpose book. And carrying it, I have this book, it's purpose book, it's good. But your purpose in life, your behavior, your everything, you are faithful to God. Let's continue that verse now. What's the next thing there? My faith. My Christian faith. My Christian walk with God. My trust in the Lord. That God who has given me that promise will bring it to pass. What's the next thing there? This is the part some people lose their faithfulness very quickly sometimes. You know, back in Africa, we are very long-suffering to everybody. Amen? People will call you in the middle of the night. People will come and visit you. You say, I have this problem. Yeah, in Europe, everybody is on his own. Don't come to my house all the time. This is Europe. Everybody is what? On his own. No. You are long-suffering with people. Amen? You suffer long with people. You understand them. Long suffering. What's the next one there now? Charity. In the way you express love, you are faithful. In the way you are more loving, in the way you are more caring, you express this faithfulness. And we're saying you do it to the end. Pastor, I used to be good though. I used to be very good. I used to be the best sister in this church, best brother in this church, everywhere. But what brethren have done to me? What brethren have done to me, I've decided my love is in reserve mode. No. In your charity, you are faithful to the end. Amen? Say, Pastor, I used to be faithful, but nowadays nobody says thank you. Because, Pastor, you see, when I was back in Africa, if you give somebody one of these African food, the person will dance. His thank you will be with dancing and singing. He will even sing a new song for me. But yeah, I gave, imagine, I went to the supermarket, I bought that shirt for that sister. She only sent me text message, thanks. Can you imagine? No dancing, no rejoicing. No, you are faithful. That charity, you still continue it. Because, you remember, you are doing it for who? For God. What's the next thing there? Patience. Your patience. You grew in your patience. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Point three, persevering despite challenges. You see, once you are faithful to God like this, once you stick to God like this, once you say, God, no matter what is going on, I will not look back, I will not turn back, I will not be discouraged, the Lord will appear to you. John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. And Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11. Because God has a radar. The radar of the Lord. God is watching. Once he has a faithful person, he tracks that person. Once God has a faithful person, whether you travel from this country to another country, the Lord will be tracking you. Amen? And the Lord will bring divine revelations to you. Let's look at this man now, what happened there. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the house that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what seest thou write in a book and send to the sovereign churches which are in Asia? He heard it. Once you are faithful like this, you will hear the voice of God. Amen? You hear the voice of God talking to you, encouraging you, saying, I see you have been faithful. I see you have been. And you must never forget. Don't give up. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Remember. Hebrews 6, 10. Remember. Hebrews 6, 10. Remember. Hebrews 6, 10. Remember. That for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have so shewed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints in the past, and you have given up, and you are tired, and you are discouraged, and you say nobody else appreciates me, and you say the pastor did not share my testimony, and do what? Minister. And say nobody noticed me, and do what? Minister. You are faithful. And when you are faithful like that, one day, one day, one day, one day, one day, one day, very, very soon, not far from now, one day you hear this, you hear this. This is what you hear. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is coming soon. You hear this word. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 and 23. Matthew 25, 21 and 23. And his Lord, your Lord, who knows you personally, Matthew 25, 21 and 23. And people have complained about me. People have murmured about me. People have done this about me. Forget all those things. No, you are faithful. And but every other person is doing it. And the other person is a Christian, is doing it. The other person is a Christian. No, you are faithful to God. Matthew chapter 25. We are there now. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, what did he say? Well done. If I say unto you, well done, I may not say it very well. But if you allow the Lord tell you, well done. And that's what you allow this morning. You say, God, I want you to tell me well done. Amen. He said, well done. Thou what? Good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. And next year, the Lord will do a miracle that will cause people to congratulate you. He will reward you for that faithfulness. In Jesus' name, I will make thee rule. Rule over sickness, rule over principalities, rule over powers. I'll make you rule over your circumstances. I'll make you rule everywhere. I'll make your prayers be effective. I'll make your prayers carry power. I'll make your prayers break yokes. All you need is that I will be faithful. I'll continue to be. He said, you'll be ruling. Amen? You'll not be afraid of, I sleep in the night, I cannot dream, I sleep in the night, people are pursuing me. He said, once you are here, you are faithful. He said, you do what? You'll be ruling. Amen? You'll be ruling. You'll be ruling. You'll be ruling. And because of that, you want to rise up and pray. And you want to tell Jesus, I will not turn back. Jesus, I will not look back. I'll be faithful. I'll be faithful. So that I will hear your commendation. So that I will hear anything you have not been faithful, You are serious with the Lord. You are telling the Lord that thing I have. This is self-examination. You have to tell the Lord I have to change. If there are things you have in your house, you know the Lord, you didn't have them before, but now the Lord didn't like it, you take them away. If there are things you are going, places you are going to, if there is a relationship, that girl you have started meeting, that boy you have started meeting, and you know that that relationship will destroy your life, you tell the girl, no. This thing we are doing is not good. You tell the boy, this thing we are doing is not good. I want to be faithful to my maker. I want to be faithful to my God. You begin to, now as we are praying, you are telling the Lord, my reading of the Bible, I have changed my pattern of reading the Bible. I want to be faithful to my pattern of reading the Bible. When I got born again, I promised you, I told you that this is how I will be reading my Bible. The way I train my children, I want to be faithful to the way I train my children. I want to spend time with them. I want to study the Bible with them. The way I live with my wife, I want to be faithful to the covenant I made with her. Oh Lord, I want to be faithful to my prayer time. I want to be faithful to my prayer pattern. Lord, I have allowed things to mundle my prayer pattern. God, today I'm making a commitment. Lord, today I'm making a consecration. I will be faithful again to my prayer pattern. You are telling the Lord, oh Lord, to my giving. I know the way I used to give before. I know the way I used to give before. But passage of time has changed it. God, I want to be faithful to my giving. God, I want to be faithful to my giving. My charity. Lord, I know the way I used to love the brethren. I know the way I used to love the church. I know the way I used to think of making that sister happy. I know the way I used to think of making that brother happy. God, I will start making people happy again in the church. I will start making that brother happy in the church. I will start making that sister happy in the church. I'll be faithful. God, I remember my long suffering. The way I was long suffering with people. The way I beared with people, the way I understood people. But Lord, I have changed. Lord, I have changed. Lord, change me back to your own way. Lord, change me back to your own will. Lord, change me back to your own purpose. Lord, I remember the way I was patient. Now I notice I'm no more patient. Lord, I remember the way I kept your doctrines in secret, in the open. Now I'm no more keeping your doctrines. Lord, I am praying this morning, I'm praying, Lord, take me back. I'm going to be faithful. Who then? What a question. Who then? What a question. Is that wise and faithful servant? Lord, I remember the way I used to pray. When I pray, people say that sister, I love her prayer. When I pray, people say that brother, I love her prayer. Lord, now I want to go back to that prayer life. I want to go back to that prayer that carries the fire of God, that carries the anointing of God, that breaks every yoke. And the Lord will say, well done, you passed. Well done, you passed. Lord, I remember my evangelism. The way I used to plan for evangelism, the way I used to plan to preach the gospel. Oh, Lord, I want to go back to thinking about evangelism. Lord, for 1 month, I've not thought about evangelism. For 2 months, I've not thought about evangelism. For 3 months, I've not thought about evangelism. Lord, this day, I want to be faithful in evangelism. I want to be faithful in evangelism. I want to be faithful in evangelism. Lord, the way I used to visit the brethren, the way I used to phone the brethren, the way I used to interact with people, Lord, I want to go back to that state. I know the way I used to phone that sister, I used to encourage her. The way I used to phone that brother, I used to encourage her. Oh, Lord, I want to go back to that phoning. The way I used to text message that sister, I will send her this book, I will do that for her. Lord, even as I'm leaving this Congress, I'm going to buy one book for one sister. I'm going to buy one book for one brother. I'm going to be faithful. God, this day, restoration of my love. This day, restoration of my love for you. This day, restoration of my commitment to you. This day, restoration of my belief in the doctrine. My belief in the doctrine. My belief in the doctrine. This day, restoration of my prayer life. This day, restoration of my reading in the Bible. Lord, I know that prayer is coming on the way. It will not discourage me. Problems will not discourage me because I'm in my incubation period. In my incubation period, the miracle is going to happen soon. Oh, Lord, every discouragement, I take it away. I'm going to be faithful to you. I will not look back. I will not turn back. I will give you everything so that you can give me everything. You say, well done, thou good servant. Well done, thou faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Have control over everything. Have control over everything. Lord, I am praying. I surrender to you today. I surrender to you today.
In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.